Our gospel lesson is from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Let us listen to the word of God. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called, in Hebrew, Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. This is the word of the Lord. One day, Johnny Erickson Tata went swimming in the bay with her sister. She was a 17-year-old athlete who took a reckless dive off a raft into shallow water, and instantly her life changes forever. She was paralyzed without the use of her arms and her legs. She wanted to lay in her bed, have her mother turn out the lights and shut the door. And then she says, much later in life, there's a world of disabled people languishing in isolation. Their marriages breaking apart due to a child's disability. Are we able to see the Jonies of the world? Or are they left in the dark rooms? Now, this isn't a new challenge. It's been around for quite a while. In fact, it's where our scripture begins. The sick, the blind, the paralyzed, the lepers, they're all abandoned. Not only did the great and powerful Rome push them aside, but so did their families and even the religious institutions of the day. They had too many problems. They were too needy. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. Today, we find someone who's all alone, willing to do anything to be normal, to be accepted, to be loved. So today, we meet a nameless paralytic sitting on the edge of a holy pool. Except this holy spa isn't dedicated to our God, it's dedicated to the pagan deity Asclepius. They believed that when the waters in the pool were stirred, it was stirred by Asclepius, and whoever entered the pool first would instantly be healed. So if the paralytic man could get into the pool at the right time, then it would mean that his disease-ridden body could be healed. And if he were healed, then he could go to the temple and be restored and be welcomed back into the community. The only trouble is, every time he attempts to get into the pool, somebody else beats him to it. The average lifespan at that time was 40 years. And since he's been paralyzed for 38, he's essentially spent a lifetime alone. So we shouldn't be surprised to meet him on the very edge of the pool today. This pagan pool is inside the walls of Jerusalem. It's in the shadows, literally in the shadows of the temple. This man's been banished by God's people, and that's where we find him, living in the shadows. At this point, he literally has nothing to lose. He's all alone, desperate for life, desperate to fill the void. So if he somehow plunges his body into these healing waters, unless he's healed by them, he will certainly drown. And even then, would anybody notice? There are people all around us who are pushed aside, who hide in the shadows, who are all alone. And I wonder if we even see them there in the shadows. Person who comes home from after serving our country, waking up in the middle of the night from nightmares, drenched in sweat. Civilian life is now so much different. PTSD is real. Nobody seems to notice the feelings of loneliness that are so intense. And tonight, the only way to calm the nerves is to drink a shot of liquor, and then another, and another. Do we see this person, or is she lying in the shadows? With a teenager who in high school tries to fit in, but he's different. He goes hunting with his dad and the other guys. His family goes to church, but they call who he is a sin and an abomination. He feels alone, and nobody seems to care or notice. Tonight, his parents are out, and he finds the combination to the gun safe. Do we see this person? Or is he hiding in the shadows? Or what about the person who speaks a different language? Many say she doesn't belong here. She gets sick, and she loses her job. The rest of her family is far away. Her child notices when she coughs, blood drenches the tissues. But instead of going to the hospital, she says she'll be better tomorrow. She's afraid and alone and can't leave her children today. Do we see this person? Or is she hiding in the shadows? There are people all around us, even here in Jacksonville, who feel like the paralytic. They're alone, hiding in the shadows. And just like him, they're on the very edge of the pool with literally nothing else left to lose. But do we even see him? I know what you're thinking. This is the last time we send Jonathan to a preaching conference. I come here to be inspired, not to be sucker punched right into that gut. Ugh. Now, we'd be in trouble if Jonathan, if Jesus was normal. If Jesus was a normal, regular human being. But luckily, Jesus does everything wrong when he heals this paralytic. That's right, Jesus does everything wrong. Jesus is in the wrong place with the wrong person on the wrong day. Jesus is a rabbi, and it's a high holy day, so he really should be in the temple. But Jesus isn't interested in following the religious customs, so instead, he goes to the pool of Asclepius, a pagan deity. And according to scholars, Jesus has been here many times. Then Jesus talks to somebody who really has nothing to offer. This man isn't only crippled, but he's old. He can't do anything productive. He doesn't have any friends. He's worshiping the wrong God, and he's on the very edge of the pool, willing to risk it all. And finally, by healing on the most sacred day of the week, Jesus breaks Sabbath law. Jesus really is in the wrong place with the wrong person on the wrong day. Jesus walks into the shadows and sees a man on the edge of the pool. And he hears the anguish of someone who's hurting, someone who's all alone. Now, in John's gospel, many of the miracles Jesus performs, he uses water. Not here. Jesus doesn't want anybody to be confused. Jesus wants the paralytic and anyone who hears about this miracle to know Jesus is stronger, more powerful than the pagan deity Asclepius. So water isn't needed to heal today. Instead, Jesus is the key to restoration. Jesus commands the paralytic to stand up, take up his mat, which are uplifting imperatives to a man who is in a very lowly state. And then he adds one important command. Did you notice it? Walk. Walking is a pretty huge concept here. It means walking as Jesus walked. This man has been paralyzed and crippled, unable to move, and Jesus tells him to stand up, to rise up tall, and to walk as Jesus walked. So if he walks like Jesus, then it means he's supposed to go to all the wrong places, meet all the wrong people, on all the wrong days. For God, through Jesus, makes all the wrongs right. The wrong place, the wrong person, and the wrong day are now the right place, the right person, and the right day. So if we too desire restoration, there really isn't anything that the world can do to fill it. The key to restoration is Jesus. And Jesus tells us to stand up and walk. So when we leave this place, don't go to the places where you always go. Instead, follow Jesus and walk in the shadows in Jacksonville. See the people who nobody else sees. And go, even if it means missing church, because there are poor and rich who are alone. There are young and old who are desperate to be noticed. But we have to be willing to walk in the shadows to help them. I've been working on this too. Our church has a new accessible changing room. It's on the third floor right next to the elevator. I told you all about it about a month ago, but it was such an unfamiliar idea to me, and my discomfort came through when I talked about it. And then somebody reminded me. I shouldn't feel awkward about making our church accessible to more people. This changing room means that more people can be welcomed to our church. Our inclusion ministry is working hard to make this church a place that sees the people most of us choose not to see. But we can't leave this ministry only to a few people or one committee. It is Jesus' call to each and every one of us to make this a place for every child of God so we can all stand up and walk. Remember Johnny, the teenage paraplegic? She was in a dark room all alone. It finally took the encouragement of some Christian friends to get her out of her bed, out of the darkness, so she could walk like Jesus walked and help others who were just like her. She began telling her story from this deep, dark place to the light. And for her, Jesus was the key to her restoration. She became an evangelist and tireless worker toward disability awareness. Johnny participated in the passing of the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's phenomenal. I'm guessing that you can think of someone right now. Someone who you overlook. Someone who might be lying in the shadows. Maybe they make you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you don't know what to say. You don't know how to help. Maybe this person has a physical disability or maybe a mental illness. Maybe they're different from you because of race or class. Maybe they have a lifestyle you don't agree with. Walk where Jesus walked. Step out in faith. Take time this week to notice this person in the shadows. Say something, do something. And then don't just stop there, but keep walking into the shadows to all the wrong places, to all the wrong people. For God, through Jesus, makes all the wrongs right. And like Johnny's friends who came to her in the darkness, an isolated room, you are the one who can share the light of Christ in a dark and lonely world. Stand up and walk. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.